Hello, 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 and welcome to the Viewing Center podcast. It's a brand new week, and we apologize for being off there for a while now. I'm Tega, I'm joined by Edmond Oris once again. Oris, how are you doing?
Yeah, Tega, thanks for having me. It's been a while. I know we've been having difficulties in shooting new episodes, so I'm glad that we can actually talk sports again. I've missed being on the show. I've missed talking football and just bantering, and also it's good to be back. I feel good. Thank you.
Yeah, it's fun to be back. And unfortunately, Williams can't join us today. We've been having some scheduling issues, but I think we've been able to sort through this and we are ready to go. Let's kick things off with Manchester United versus Liverpool, ending in a draw 1-1. I was kind of a bit surprised by the way Liverpool played, because I feel they played their worst ever, like this season. That's like this, except for maybe the Napoli game. I think this in the Premier League, especially, this is like the worst game I've seen them play. But somehow, they still came back better in the second half and they managed to get a draw, which is like, I think, a hallmark of champions. Even when you're having your bad day in the office, they still find a way to get something tangible out of it. How did you see the game?
Well, the game was very interesting to watch, especially towards the end of the first half with the old VAR incident, Rashford goal, the Mane disqualified goal, and then the second half. It was nice. I think for Manchester United, it's a good result. It's very unfortunate. I felt they've done enough to have won the game from their point of view. I mean, only set up with 3-4-3 formation. It's Rojo, Lindelof and Maguire at centre-back. I felt they did well because Liverpool barely had a chance. Like you said, they were poor. There was no fluidity in the final third, understand? And a draw for them is a very good result because they should be losing that game. And I know some people want to say maybe the Rashford goal should not have stood because there was a foul on Origi, but I felt it was a fair...
It was the right decision.
Yeah. For Manchester United, though, I felt, I don't know, good results compared to the way they played last against Newcastle. I felt that this was good. We could see what Ole wanted to do. And I feel that's the problem they are having. They don't have enough creativity in their team. So their basic form of play is to sit back and strike you on the counter-attack. But that's not going to work against the likes of Newcastle, against the smaller team, because you are Manchester United, so you are expected to take the initiative. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, but for the big teams, that's why if you notice, they've not lost any big games this season. They beat Chelsea convincingly. They drew to Arsenal, and now they've drawn to Liverpool. So that's their format. Well, it's not going to work against the small teams. So that's why they need to do more. But today they were good. I think Ashley Young was good. Basically, they were stopping all the crosses, apart from the crosses that led to the goal. I felt they did very well. And hopefully for them, I really want them to build on it going forward.
For Liverpool, I think you said you just touched on something about crossing. And I think that was one of Liverpool's strong points. They know how to cross left to right, Mane, Salah. And I think they missed Salah today. I know all the hype is always on Mane and everything, but I think... Yeah, they really missed Salah.
Yeah, it was very obvious that they missed him, and it's also a fundamental issue that I feel that they will have throughout the course of the season, and it's what I've always been saying, and as to why I think they won't be able to win the league.
Yeah.
Apart from their preferred 11, maybe 12. Yeah, apart from their maybe first 11 players, then a couple of substitution. Let's say, Chamberlain and Milner comes on in midfield. They don't have an adequate Origi is a super sub at best. I felt he would have been better coming on as a sub in this game than starting. Yeah. You understand? I don't know what's happening with Shaqiri, but anytime one of those Fab 3 don't play, that is Firmino, Mane or Salah don't play, when they don't play there, they're always having issues breaking teams down. You understand? So I just hope the Salah's injury is not so bad, because that guy has cost me a lot of points in my FPL guy. His price range is so outrageous. But now I'm going to get big zero, and to only the fact that I haven't played Aguero on top, and Pep decided to do his rotation. Guy, I'm so pissed off, I say.
Yeah, I do follow FPL, but I think I'm one of the few people in this world that don't actually place. But I think when we get to Man City, we'll talk about that. Guardiola keeps messing with you guys' points and everything. Well, let's investigate now. VAR keeps causing lots of very strange decisions. The calls today were both right calls, but they've been causing very outrageous decisions. Like
yesterday, yeah. I watched the Tottenham Watford game. So I was seeing the goal rush as it came in, and I was saying how they were overturning.
Is there a way England can make it better? Because I see other leagues, it's not as bad as obviously because everybody.
To be fair to them, this is the first season. This is the first few season. It's been barely 4 months. You understand? So they will get better with time. Obviously, they will get better with time. But I'm actually surprised why England, because you guys like to pride yourself at being the best league in the world. And why are you guys the last to actually implement it? Even German leagues have been in the last season, La Liga last season, I think Serie A last season, and they've gotten better at it. You understand what I'm saying? So yeah. I think they will get better, because I saw the Tottenham game. There was a mix up when
yes. Well, they scored exactly, and it was no goal.
Then I think even the whole penalty incident with Delefeu, which I think was a clear penalty. I don't know how you would look that on the screen and not call it a penalty.
Yeah.
No, call it a penalty. Plus, why do they have on pitch screens if the referees are not going to be able to look at least we see that a lot in Champions League where the referees go.
Yeah,
and look at the images for themselves to make decisions, and I think they will get better. For now, we just have to deal with it. It just makes the whole. This is the bad side about VR. Without VR, for example, Mane's goal today might have stood, but you saw what VR did. It was a clear handball, and it should not count. So they will get better.
Let's move back to Man U and Liverpool's game now. For Ole, his game plan worked and he was able to almost got 3 points, but was able to at least get something from the game. Is this where things begin to change for them now? Because obviously, is this where their confidence comes from? Because looking at the match now, my rate Rashford and Daniel James as like man of the match, both of them is kind of a tie between both of them. So can these players not take it up from there, or is this going to be back to normal Mayo and how do you see Mayo's form?
I guess we'll have to wait and see. I think they play Norwich next. Norwich are struggling. Yes. They're struggling on their own. So it's two struggling teams. I really want Manchester United. I want them to do better. Not so good, but not this bad, guys. It's bad. It's been bad. It's been terrible. I hope they can kick on from there. I think Martial came back. He played a couple of minutes towards the end of this game. So that's good for them. De Gea, we thought he had an
injury. Serious injury, Spain.
Yeah, it was good that he was back.
Yeah.
So let's just hope that things can... They need Pogba back. They need him back fast. So let's just hope that things can get better for them. We can't say, you understand, because they beat Chelsea 4-0 and everybody was saying, I told you that result was very fluky.
Yeah.
You understand? And since then, they've won only one other game. They've won only two games this season. I think they are 13th, I mean, for just 2 points above relegation. Guys, shambolic. For a team like Manchester United, it's unbelievable. You understand what I'm saying? So they have to fix up, and they have to fix up fast. Ole has to fix up fast. So we can only hope and wait.
So speaking on a team that has turned their tide around, that's Chelsea. After losing to Man U, they finally picked up a good run of fun. Now they've won 5 games in a row. They have 17 points and are currently fourth in the Premier League. They beat Newcastle 1-0. It was a game in which Chelsea dominated throughout the game, but Newcastle held firm like they did against Man U. They held firm, but Chelsea was able to get their goal through Marcos Alonso. I feel Chelsea's playing very well now. For me, I feel it's a bit even better than last season under Sarri. Why I say that is in terms of attacking football. Under Sarri last season, it was kind of very slow, and we know we always knew Chelsea was going to dominate the match, but at the end of the day, might not score a goal or something will just happen. It'll just be a very slow game. Pass. But this season, Chelsea is dominating, playing attacking football, playing fast football. And actually, the results are beginning to come gradually, even with the transfer ban and young stars, academy boys, they are beginning to, you know, get good results with five wins in a row.
So let me ask you. Very quickly. What's the realistic? What will be a good season and what will be a bad season with all that you have said? Because I felt after the United game, I told you that Chelsea played very well. You understand? Yeah. And even after their next game against Liverpool, where the Super Cup final, they played very well. So personally, I've been impressed by Lampard. But I want to know, because you are the Chelsea fan, what will be a good season and what will be a bad season?
For me, when the season started, my own grace for a good season before the season started, when Lampard came in and with the transfer ban and everything, my grace for a good season was top four. I don't care if it's third position, I don't care if it's fourth position, I don't care if it's second, most likely fourth, but top four would be fantastic. Maybe a Carling Cup win or an FA Cup win, something in between that, and at least getting to quarterfinal in the Champions League for me was my realistic hope. But looking at the Premier League table now and seeing how Tottenham is struggling, Man U is struggling, you know, those are our main competitions for that top four. And seeing Arsenal is doing fairly well now. And I feel Chelsea can comfortably, if they keep on this form, realistically, now I've zeroed my mind that Chelsea should easily get top four this season, be it third or fourth position, because I feel Leicester City, even if they are playing fantastic football now, you'll see drop down. So top four for me, I feel if we do not make top four this season, I feel it's like it's a failure in my part. But I won't be so downcast about it, because obviously the young boys and everything.
Because it's Lampard. Top four is good. I feel you guys can make top four. I feel you guys should make top four.
Not even really because Lampard, because there are some weird decisions Lampard has actually made that has frustrated me, like always putting Pulisic on the bench. Because I know he loves his England youngsters and he's obviously trying to favor them and they deserve the chance. I'm not saying they do not deserve their chance, but the likes of Pulisic, I mean, Chelsea spent a lot of money on him. He needs to play for his confidence, and it's not as if he's a terrible player. It's not as if he's a kind of a Pereira of Man U player. He's a good player. He has proven it in Dortmund and now he's in Premier League. And we see that yesterday, especially when he came on against Newcastle, he virtually changed the game because he started creating more chances, and it's the chance he created that gave Chelsea the goal. He created a good chance, gave the ball to Osinodoy gave an assist to Alonso. So there are some decisions Lampard has been making that has made me angry, but you know, you can't criticize your, I don't know whether to call it legend, or you can't just, if it was another coach that was making some decisions Lampard has made in terms of benching Pulisic. So if it was Sarri, I know Chelsea fans would have rioted on Twitter, but because it's Lampard and
everything. Everything you're saying is true, and we're all coming back to the same thing. Because it's Lampard, you are tolerating a lot of.
But he's getting the results also. So
legend is your highest goal scorer. He's getting the results. He's getting results. Yeah, so good luck to him. Good luck to you guys.
Let's talk about your favorite team in England, Manchester City. Yesterday they played without a defender, and I think before the match I saw your tweet where you said it would be a master class if Guardiola gets to win this match without recognized central defenders, and he ended up winning the game 2-0. What do you feel about Man City? Because now they are very down, they are really below Liverpool now in terms of points. But do you think they can claw this back? And what do you feel about their general performance? Because it hasn't been.
I don't think they are really below Liverpool. It was 8 points before.
Now it's 6 points.
With Liverpool drawing today, it could have been five. The thing about league season is it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Understand? You have to be consistent enough, and there is no other manager as consistent as Guardiola. You understand? That team has enough firepower to be able to withstand. But on the game, though, I saw the game against Crystal Palace. I felt they were very good. They were very good. Recognized centre back with Fernandinho. Fernandinho has been impeccable this season when he's played. And he has played played all games at centre back.
Centre back, yes.
I don't know why he decided to. Maybe he was resting Otamendi because of the international break, or maybe he doesn't trust him. I don't know. But I feel with Champions League coming and everything, he decided to put him on the bench. I mean, he didn't call him up. Stones was on the bench. Stones came in, I think, in it's something. But Liverpool will also have their bad moments. It will happen. You understand? So yeah. I feel Man City, they will be good. Don't forget, they have Sané out. They have Laporte out. And those players will come back very soon. Back. So
yeah.
I'm not bothered at all.
Yeah. Okay, now we've talked about your second favorite team. Let's move on to your main team, Barcelona. I think you called this weekend
if you could see my face now, you see that I'm smiling so big.
I think this is a perfect weekend for Barcelona. 3 points.
Wow, it was
your
perfect,
your three attacking players scoring, and to top it off, to put is it the icing on the cherry? I'll be the cherry on the icing. Real Madrid lost. So just and you're back to the first top position in La Liga. So
where we should be, our bet right. Listen, we've had our poorest start to the season in a long time this season. This season has been so problematic with Messi's injury, the whole Neymar saga, injury, then Suarez came and got injured in the first game, then Griezmann trying to gel with the team and our away form. And Messi came back and Messi got injured again. And if you could go to the previous post on Twitter, almost every Barcelona post, you see Vavadi out. And so it's been...
You're part of them now.
I don't cry Vavadi out on my ass.
Are you serious?
I don't do that. Listen, I don't want the man to be there, you understand? If it's up to me, he will have gone after the Liverpool game. But the power that be, I've decided to give him another chance. I've decided to give him another season. The players are happy with him. You understand? So I've made my peace with it. I can't be complaining and be grumbling every time. You understand? The truth of the matter is, he's going to be there to the end of the season. So I've decided to make my peace with it and stop fighting it. You understand? And just support him. That's what I'm doing. But I've listed all our many, many problems. But it's just 9 games into the season and we are back at the top again. And I can tell you categorically that is where we'll be till the end of the season. It's Barcelona. It's what we do. This is how things should be. Do you understand what I'm saying? Plus, we have just like your team, Chelsea, I think we have 6 or 5 wins on the go. You understand? Yeah. Messi is getting back to, he has been playing preseason since, despite putting stellar performances. You understand?
Okay. Yeah.
He's still getting there. And his relationship with Griezmann is getting better little by little. I think this is the second, third game they've played. He has assisted Griezmann before. Griezmann assisted him yesterday. Yeah. Messi laid off for Suarez. So it's good. Umtiti is back. Umtiti is back. De Jong and Otto's partnership is forming very well. Ter Stegen was very good. Lenglet has been getting better. I mean, Semedo too is getting. So basically, like you said, it was perfect weekend. Things are looking bright. Things are looking hopeful. So let's see where we can go. I just hope everybody has learned his lesson going forward. So we'll see. Plus, Real Madrid lost. I saw their game. It was shambolic. They were poor. They were very, very poor. But I don't care.
But for Real Madrid, I think I'll just give them benefit of the doubt. I think Hazard wasn't playing. And he's one of their
players is not one of their key players, guys. Guys are struggling this season. A lot of their first team players were not present. Modric was absent, Cruz was absent, Bill was absent, I think Varane was absent. So it was a couple of first team players with fringe. I think Jovic is struggling.
Yeah, Jovic. What's happening with Jovic? Because it was I don't just get what's happening with him, because it was the next best thing after sliced bread at the end of last season.
He hasn't scored a goal for club and country since April. He's shambolic, guy.
I think he actually scored a goal that was cancelled by VAR, and it was the most stupid. I saw the goal when he scored the goal. It was the most stupid cancellation I've ever seen. It was like his finger. It's like one tiny finger that was offside, and useless VAR. They will now draw line.
Blue and red line.
I felt for him because they started celebrating, was so happy, and when they canceled the guy, I was very sad for him. But I hope he gets better, because it's just I don't know whether it's Zidane. Zidane isn't using him well. Zidane doesn't trust him. I don't understand. Zidane has, I don't know, he buys some players and...
I think what is, let me tell you, when they got him initially, I told you, I don't know if I told you, but I said that this guy cannot go there and displace Benzema. I can't. You understand? Benzema is basically the most important player in the club right now, most indispensable player.
Yeah.
You understand? So I saw him as a Morata kind of player at best. A squad rotation player. He'll play Copa, he'll play, but when it's time for the big games, he won't play. And as a striker, you understand, you need confidence, you need rhythm, you need to play.
Yeah.
You understand? So it's always going to affect. And the longer it takes you before you get your first goal, the more the pressure. And you know how the Real Madrid fans are. They are a very impatient group of fans. You understand? Yeah. Oven Hazard, he got his first goal in his last game, which was good for him, but he has not really been up to speed himself. I think to be fair to them, they are still in a little bit of transition. He bought lots of players over the summer, so they are still trying to get the preferred starting 11. But I think after all said and done, it's still going to be the old players that will be playing, because I don't see any of them displacing Ramos, Varane, Modric, Cruz, Casemiro, Marcelo, Carvajal. So it's still good. Bill, I think, a lot of people didn't expect Bill to be playing, but he's been playing and he's been doing very well. So we'll see. Plus, your guy is struggling. Your best friend is struggling.
Who is
Courtois.
That?
Courtois cannot keep a clean sheet to save his life right now, Tega.
I'm delighted about that. I think my village people's prayers are working on in his life. Italian Serie A, Ronaldo, international break, scored his 700th goal of his career. Incredible, incredible features. And he's the only player, he's the only active player playing football now to have scored 700 goals. It's just incredible, the amount of record he keeps breaking. And he scored this weekend again for Juventus. They won their match 2-1. I mean, what can you say about the goals? Which is Ronaldo, like the best player in the world. I don't want you to mention Messi yet. Just talk about Ronaldo without mentioning Messi. Can you do that for me?
Yeah, I can do that, but you have to remove that title. You can't be telling me to talk about the GOAT, which we all know is Lionel Messi, and I say I should talk about Ronaldo. So maybe you should, call him something else. But I don't know. It definitely can be the GOAT. Okay, but Ronaldo, Ronaldo, 700 goals, guys, is remarkable. It's outrageous. I don't think a lot of players, I don't think even he, when he started playing, I don't think he ever saw himself getting to 700 goals. You understand? So it's an outrageous, remarkable record. It's crazy, because even if you are playing on the streets, monkey posts, like we used to call it. You will score 700 goals. You understand? Yeah. So for you to score 700 professional goals is out of this world. It's a remarkable achievement, and kudos to him.
Yeah, I mean, he's just fantastic what he's been able to do with himself. How many goals till Messi gets to 700? I think you have this on your fingertips.
Yeah, it was 24 before, but now it's 23. He should be there by December.
So by the end of the season, By the end of the season is far.
I say by the end of this year. By the end of this year, we're giving him November and December. 23 goals. 23 goals is reachable. It's reachable.
Okay,
yes, man. It's reachable.
And anyways, we'll be watching that. Hoping to see what happens with our rivalry. Let's come back to Nigeria a bit. International break, Nigeria played Brazil, and I felt they performed very well. I was watching the match, I didn't online. I was in and out of the match. I didn't watch the full 90 minutes. I was always checking in, going out. But considering I looked at Brazil's starting lineup, and it was a star-studded starting lineup, and I looked at Nigeria's starting lineup, and we are missing a couple of our key players that normally start for us. I thought they did well, and they scored the first goal, defended well, they scored the first goal with Joao Aribo. I feel that guy is like the best thing to happen to our center midfield in a long time in terms of attacking
threats.
In terms of attacking threats, it's a very good player going forward. Brazil ended up scoring Casemiro, which was a fluky goal, but they did they scored. And
to be fair, though, I saw the game. I saw the whole game. Yeah. You understand? Yeah. It was last week Sunday, and I just got back from church, and then I saw the starting 11. I was like, my God, the Brazil starting 11 was ridiculous. They had Daniel Alves, they had Thiago Silva, they had Marquinhos, they had Neymar, they had. They had Firmino. It was just. I was like, wow. So I was expecting to see scoreline like Brazil 4, Nigeria 0, or Brazil 3, Nigeria 0. Yeah. You understand? I was so sure that Brazil were going to win. And then my uncle, I was watching the game with my uncle, and he was like, Brazil are not going to win this game. They can't win. And I wanted to argue with him. We're arguing a little bit. And then he said, do you want to bet? You should bet it. That was before the game started. And I could not bet about it, but Nigeria really impressed me. I have to say they were very compact. The purpose and the plan was clear. Chukwueze has a bright future ahead of him.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate that he's missing out on the Golden Ball nomination. You understand? But he's anytime he touches the ball, you're expecting something good to happen. I just want him to work on his finishing and his final ball. He's going to be a big impact for us and football in general. I think Nigeria has made it. My only issue with the team was Iwobi guy. Iwobi was terrible. It's almost like we're playing with 10 men. And Iwobi is a player that, and I'm not just talking about me, but I think a lot of Nigerians had a lot of hope on when he broke into the Arsenal team and into the Nigerian team. He scored the goal that took us to the World Cup. I think how many years ago? But since then, it's just been downwards, and he's left Arsenal now at Everton, and even at Everton, he's still not doing it. You understand? He loses the ball, makes lots of bad passes and everything. But let me not castigate him too much. But what I'm saying at bottom line is he has to do better.
So I think to be fair to Iwobi, it's just there are some games he plays very well, and so when he wants to really play very well, he plays to the extreme very well. But when he has having a bad day at the office, he plays terribly. Like I think yesterday when they played Everton played West Ham, he played very well. He was causing lots of problems for West Ham, but he had a 1-on-1 chance to score for West Ham and for Everton, and he missed it. So he's one of those players that when they are playing very well, they can play at their very best. And but when they want to disappear, like Ozil now, for example, they are nowhere to be found, and they just keep on messing the ball. So that's one problem with Ozil. I beg your pardon. That's one problem with Iwobi, and I feel he just needs to work on his consistency. And if he can work on that, he will be a better player.
Yeah, he should, and fast.
Extra time. The extra time segment. Let's talk a bit about the Headies award that happened yesterday. What was your takeaway? Did you watch it? What was the takeaway?
Actually, this Headies, this the one last night was the first Headies I was actually sitting down to watch, because I saw a lot of people hyping it on Twitter. Headies. Yeah. So, and I was awake, so I turned on my television. I said, okay, let me see what they're talking about. And guy, it was terrible. It was disappointing. You understand? I'm a kind of person that I'm always very selective with the kind of TV shows and programs I watch. When I watch something, I want to watch something that will inspire me or something that you understand what I'm saying. But this, there was no difference. There was no difference between the picture quality, first of all, between that and NTA. They were that bad. It was bad.
It's terrible for me. I feel it's terrible because this award has been on for God knows how many years, and they have still not even improved on that.
They have not improved. I mean, even the yearly shows that most of these top artists, maybe the Davido concert, the Wizkid concert, and the Burna Boy's concert, the presentation and the packaging and the whole, it's way better than that. And because I saw a lot of people calling it the Nigerian Grammys on Twitter, I'm like, what's this? It's terrible. And then the presenters are a bit the host. The girl was an Nancy and just terrible. And then they were even good. There was a guy that did the red carpet. You understand? Yeah. There was the time he was interviewing Mike from Big Brother, and I was like, what is this? Is this the best? Are this the best event host that Nigerians could come up with. It was disappointing.
Ebuka will not do that kind of show for free now. Maybe they can't just afford it's just puff, because I feel this award is something that should have, I mean, the award itself, the whole head, whatever, it's a nice award, but the presentation of the award, as in, they've not just
has been that. They've not improved at all. It's been terrible. They should do better, especially because it seems, or it looks like, the biggest music award in Nigeria.
Yes.
And Nigeria's music is the best in Africa.
In Africa.
Yes, and one of the best in the world. One of the best in the world, because a lot of our artists are doing very well. So if we're going to celebrate them, or if we're going to award them, It should be better. It has to be better. I'm sorry. It has to be better. I was really disappointed. But yeah. on it, a lot of, on the categories, I felt the category, the nominations and everything was fair. There were some people that won that were questionable. You understand? Yeah. I liked Tenny. I like her, really. Her music are brilliant. I think Uyomiyo was very good. Kiss was also very good. But there was some, I think the last award she won, I can't really remember it categorically now, but it was questionable. It was good.
I'm actually even looking at the full winners list. And first of all, before I even go to that, let me just give a shout out to Tacha fans and whatever they call themselves, Titans. Let me not even get them angry. If any of the Titans are into this podcast, it's all of them, because what they did to Zlatan, in every category that Zlatan was voted for, and some of the categories that Zlatan was nominated for, rather, they were votable categories where audience can vote. And he lost every single team. Even the top rated this team, it was Real Madrid that won it because of the
next rated.
Yeah, and obviously let me call facts for him. Facts. Zlatan had a better year than. Well, moving away from that, I feel some of the awards, some like Bonaboy Artist of the Year. I feel that's good. Song of the Year for
Bonaboy. That was deserved.
Song of the Year
was deserved.
Yeah, but there are some songs. There are some places where if is the Song of the Year. Why is Yale's that's Bonaboy's song? He's still losing in some categories where he's nominated for. I don't understand.
Exactly. I think he lost one to Kiss. There's a place they say he was nominated and he lost one to Kiss, which was very questionable. I was like, I don't understand.
Yeah. Best pop single.
Collaboration of the Year was his song with Zlatan. I think
Killing Them. Yeah.
I think that's Nigeria since came out. I've not seen any other song that stopped that for me personally. That song, whenever it comes on, I lose my home train.
so you can be body and every.
I can't. You know, I'm a terrible dancer, but I'm trying. This song makes me want to dance. This song makes me want to shake my body. And the video was also very nice too. It was nice to see. Plus, there was also this issue about the fixing of the event with Wizkid's.
Yeah.
Wizkid's show at the O2 Arena.
Yeah.
You understand? Yes, where Wizkid took all the A-list at. If this show is the biggest award show in Nigeria, yes?
Yeah.
We should take it seriously. They should be you can't go and put it on the day where your big star is performing, because apparently Wizkid has released this date, I think they said 4 months ago.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So why do you go and put it on a day where you know that a lot of them are going to be there? Because you understand what I'm saying? Where everybody will come, and 80% of the people that won, they were not there to collect their award. It's almost like they said they are not even taking it seriously. It's like a joke. You understand? So if the artists are not taking it seriously, they are the ones that are going to be awarded. Why should we, the viewers, or we, the fans, why should we take it seriously? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was another issue I had with it. When they all came to collect their award, apart from, because you know, these artists, they have a platform, a big platform where they can say things and be heard. You understand what I'm saying? You can pass powerful message. You see the likes of abroad, for example. I think there are lots of them when they come to collect their award, they give thought-provoking, life-changing speeches. You understand?
Speeches.
For example, You see, what's the name of this man that built a studio in Atlanta?
Tyler Perry.
Oh my God, yes. The last time they gave him an award, the studio was read, he gave one thought that when you listen to it, you get goosebumps just listening to him talking. You understand? It's inspiring. Inspires all the other ones that came yesterday. Nothing. Thank you. I thank my fans.
My fans.
Thank you. I think Miracle was saying, you get, there was something Miracle was saying that, I was like, what the fuck? It was only Ebuka and Faust. I think I was happy that Faust album won a lot of awards. That's what music should be about. I think Ebuka gave a powerful message where he talked about the fire incident in Onitsha and said that we have to hold our government responsible or else it's going to keep happening. You understand? And Faust talked about him still going to be able to sing conscious music. This guy, I didn't sleep. I watched, I think they closed around after one in the morning. So guy, I'm not going to stay up late again for crap.
Well, the award held to their own powers. It was successful. But that's how the edit has been. So there's nothing to, I don't think it will ever change. I think Nigerian artists don't even take it seriously. At least the big stars don't take the award seriously anymore. Whiskey had a fantastic night in London. Kudos to him. He had Tiwa Savage, Don Jazzy, Naira Marley, every single person, every A-list artist. Most of the A-list artists. You
know, Burna Boy.
Yeah, Burna Boy was there. So Whiskey had a fantastic night in London. And it's just kudos to Whiskey and Naira Marley. I don't understand how Naira Marley is the most loved artist in Nigeria at the moment, but it's just shocking. And why I would say shocking is because there's something people will say, if there's no publicity, it's bad publicity. And any kind of publicity is good publicity. When Naira Marley was being carried everywhere by AFCC, personally, I didn't even know who Naira Marley was before that whole drama happened. But now after the whole AFCC saga, he is now the most loved artist in Nigeria. So just...
are you a Malian yet? Are you a Malian?
If you check my Twitter, you cannot say anything about Naira Marley here, but I'm just stating the fact that it's the most loved artist in Nigeria based on Twitter
interactions. Listen, just to add a few words on that.
Yeah.
When the old saga of EFCC, let me be honest, when the old saga of EFCC came up, I was happy that they took him. I was happy they arrested him. You understand? And then he came out and almost immediately he released Soppy. I was like, what kind of nonsense song is this? And when I saw the whole dance of it, the whole thing used to irritate me. And the guy used to piss me off. I'm not going to lie. He used to piss me off. I haven't blocked him on Twitter. I went and blocked the guy. So I was going to. I could not. That's why people were celebrating that kind of person so much. You understand? Let me be honest. I haven't blocked him properly weeks back. And I don't like him now, but I don't hate him anymore. The guy is just a chilled person, catching his own cruise and having fun by himself. And the Soppy song is not so bad.
And I feel it's a comedian. So look at his Twitter TL and all his deep quotes he puts on. I don't follow him, but yesterday was trending and I said, let me see why this guy said it. And I saw the whole dance and everything. But I said, let me go to his Twitter.
The dance was mad.
I said, let me go to his Twitter tier. And I saw all these tweets. I was like, what does this guy drink before he starts typing all this?
Man, drink or smoke.
It's crazy. Another good news for Nigerian artist, Davido and his wife to be, his fiancée, Chioma, they have a baby boy. So that's good news. I mean, it's all around good news for Nigerian artists this weekend. So,
Basically, if you calculate 9 months from 9 months from now, I think that's February. You know what happens in February, Tiga?
I was on my own. I've been very single, so I've been on my own. I wasn't giving anybody babies or anything like that. But I think you have been giving someone. I think you've been giving someone babies recently, and so.
I plead my fish, please.
So you begin some babies. So I expect next February, by the end of next year, we should have a little Edmund Oris around the corner or something. Yeah.
Oh my God! Stop.
So that's ends it for this episode of the Bean Center podcast. I'd like to thank everybody who texts in on the podcast, listens. It's a pleasure. Thank you for your support and for people who checking on WhatsApp and text and ask. There's not been any new episode and everything. Well, thanks for your support, and we'll try as much as possible to make this weekly, which it should be. Boris, thank you for joining me once again. It's a pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me. It's always fun with you there.
Next week, hopefully, we'll have the full house back. Like the show on Twitter, the View Center Pod. Follow the show on Twitter and subscribe on iTunes. And give us your 5-star ratings. It helps the show a lot with publicity and adverts and listeners. And just let people know about the show more with your ratings. Do take care of yourself, guys. Cheers.